Hawk and Tom on B93.7.
Time to talk about the exciting and hot developments in news this week.
Uh-huh.
Did I make that sound exciting?
Well.
Okay, it's time for nerd news.
Oh, that.
I started to start singing and I knew where you were going.
Nerd news with Tom.
Yeah.
Katie, we're going to start off with you this morning. Got a story about how come we tolerate alcohol so well in our bodies.
Why are you bringing me up? I mean, I just had a late Thursday. I just stayed up late.
He's drunk, folks.
No, I'm not. Okay, a little bit.
Is he really?
No.
Oh, okay.
A study at Dartmouth or whatever that college is called found that drunk apes that loved fermented fruit millions of years ago helped develop the genes we have now where we can process alcohol so well. So apparently, a bunch of drunk apes are the reason that we're able to do alcohol so well.
How's that?
I guess through evolution or something.
Oh, that, I don't believe that.
I've seen people not do well with alcohol.
Well, some people are not as good at it as others. You know, they even say, the scientists speculate that the reason that humans actually came about was that a bunch of apes ate mushrooms and got psychedelic and it gave them consciousness. That's a theory that's out there.
Oh.
So there's wild theories about the apes.
I want to be a scientist. I'm just going to make random stuff up.
That's true, actually. I mean, some of it's science, and some of it is like, we thought of this, and you can't prove it's wrong, so.
Well, I saw that movie Planet of the Apes. Some of them can talk.
Yes.
All right, bug news. We talked about how tarantulas are on the mating season right now, and they are out and about roaming around looking for mates. Turns out they've discovered four new types of tarantulas, and what makes these tarantulas stand out is that compared to their body, the size of their reproductive organs is enormous. So they are the really cool tarantulas in the crowd.
Do you consider that cool?
Well, I mean, I think most males of the species consider that a good thing.
Studies that? Who is like, let me break this tarantula open and see
they
how
didn't
big
break it open.
How else
is hanging
oh.
out?
Okay.
I just got it.
Put some clothes on.
Oh my gosh.
All right.
She's turning red.
Oh, we'll show you pictures later.
No, thank you.
Yeah, it's poured out.
In moon news, NASA is fast-tracking plans to build a nuclear reactor on the moon, and we're in a race with China to get the first moon base. The first thing they'll need is power, so if they can build a nuclear reactor on the moon, they'll be able to have a meltdown on the moon and not just Earth.
Good. I have meltdowns every day on Earth.
I'm like, you're going to put a nuclear reactor up there. It's going to blow up the moon, and then everything on Earth is going to blow up.
Okay, that's a stupid answer.
What?
It's not going to blow up the moon. We've had nuclear reactors. Chernobyl blew up here. It didn't blow up the Earth.
Okay, true. But let's say it blows up part of the moon, and all of a sudden the waves and everything, the gravity and stuff's
Leave
messed
it
up
to
here
the
on
scientists
Earth.
There, Sherlock.
I mean, I thought they already had power in Arizona.
Okay, Kato, that's his conspiracy theory.
That's where the moon landing was, Arizona desert.
Okay, we are loaded for bear today. He said that alcohol, he's a little more talky than usual about that. All right, alien news. I got one more before the big story. Windex news. You get tired of cleaning your windows or paying someone to clean your windows. Scientists have now created self-cleaning glass. It has electrodes built in that remove the dust and other particles from its surface so you don't have to wash it anymore.
You don't have to anyway.
Well,
true. You can't see out of it, but you don't have to wash it.
I don't need to look out at my neighbor's exercising.
Who needs blinds?
Yeah. But how cool would it be to have your windows self-clean so they always look like you've been keeping up with your house?
I've been working so hard to keep this house clean.
Well, think about your car windows.
Yeah, I'd rather have it there.
Every time you go to the gas station, you're sitting there cleaning your car windows.
Well, you can have both, Kato. I mean, it's going to be a new glass that's available. It'll be on your phone, too. You won't have to constantly clean your screen.
I borrowed one of my kids' phones, and it was so dirty. When was the last time that was
cleaned? Kids are little animals.
And old people.
And yeah, my friend's kids' iPads. Yeah. Uh-huh. I'll go get it started for them, and I'll rub my finger across. I just feel lumps. I just feel lumps across it. I'm like, oh my, I don't know what these lumps are. I dried it.
It's little baby speed bumps. Yeah.
All right, all this discussion doesn't matter anyway because we're about to be invaded by aliens.
I hope it happens this morning.
I don't know if you've seen this in the news, but there is a interstellar object. And that means it's an object that, like a comet, normally stays and rotates around our sun or revolves around our sun. So it comes in, it goes away for a long time, it comes back, but it's always revolving around our sun. This object came from somewhere else, from some other star, and it's headed right towards Earth and Mars.
I know what it is. It's that Galactus guy from that Fantastic Four movie. It's coming to, you know, eat the Earth. I've seen that.
Turn his mic off. He's worse than you, Cato, and he hasn't even been drinking.
I know.
All right. Now, they're saying that it's a comet, but there are some actual scientists who believe this thing could be made by some other, like, intelligence, like an alien or something. They say it doesn't make sense for it to be a natural object. So we're going to find out between November 21st and December 5th when it gets closest to us.
Oh, no.
It's either coming to save us or destroy us, or maybe just pass by.
Good, good. I don't have to do any Christmas shopping this year.
What's good is you'll know by December 5th whether you still need to or not.
They're just coming down for some Thanksgiving turkey.
They're probably just coming by and going, let's look at the weird earthlings.
Like, honey, lock the doors.
Yeah.
This place is weird.
All right, that's Nerd News.
Nerd News. Nerd News. Nerd News with Tom.
It's the Hawk and Tom Show on B93.7.
Well, with the cooler weather that we've been having, had to break into my winter clothes. You know, you go because, you know, you wear a t-shirt now. It's like, it's kind of chilly out here.
I came close to turning my heat on this week. I came real close to turning it on.
Yeah. So, you know, just rummaging through the closet, you're going through, you find a shirt you haven't worn in a while, you get it out like, this is going to look good on me. You know, oh, it's got a hole in it. What do you do with the clothes with small holes in them? They ask people this, got the info for you.
I say as designer and that I spent a lot of money on it, and suddenly it's fashionable.
And if it's more expensive, you're probably going to keep it.
A lot of times you get those holes in the armpit from the dry cleaner.
Yeah.
And I don't think you can say that's just cool.
No, you just don't raise your hands when you're out in public. Don't wave at anybody.
Isn't the correct answer to get rid of it and get a new one?
46% of people wear them anyway.
Wow.
They get a hole in their clothes. And like we were talking about, you know, if it's an expensive shirt, you know, you're going to wear it anyway and try to patch it up somehow.
Even if it's not, when people are spending $300 on a Yeezy shirt that has holes all in it.
Who would?
I mean, not me. Mine was from TJ Maxx, but that's not the point.
I told you my shorts, they had a hole down here in you know, that area in the crotch area.
Oh, God.
I'm glad you pointed.
I took them to the lady, you know, the alterations place, and then she's like, well, we got to put a patch right there. And it'd be like a target. I'm like, a big old patch because the material's too flimsy down there. You'd have to put a whole patch down there. And I'm like, I don't think I want to do that. I'll just wear it with a hole in it.
Bring them to me. I'll fix them.
We need to get you a raise. I mean, you got a pair of shorts with a hole in the crotch,
yeah.
And your first thought is to fix them.
Yeah.
And your second thought is to wear them with the hole anyway. Don't they pay you enough for new shorts?
They fit so well, though.
Apparently, that doesn't matter if you got a hole in the crotch.
Here's the thing. The stores, those clothing stores, they put out their, you know, shorts and you don't buy six pairs of them, you're in trouble.
Oh, and then they change fashion.
And they change the fashion. Now you're like, can't get them anymore, so I got to have a hole in my crotch
area. So I'm going to go around out of fashion with a hole in my crotch. What screams old man more than that?
What do you mean?
They aren't in fashion anymore. That's why you can't buy them.
Yeah, they are. Last year I bought them, and now they don't make them this year.
That's because they're not in style anymore.
It's American Eagle.
Matter.
American Eagle is fashionable.
Just say that it's hot outside, and that's your little breeze way. Keeping things cool.
Everyone's like, Hawk can't afford new shorts. He's got a hole in the crotch.
Hey, I'm on Hawk's team. Listen, when they did this whole, like, 90s baggy jean thing, I was like, I will hold on to my skinny jeans until my fingers fall off.
Okay, but when your fingers poke out of the crotch area, that's a problem.
And the last advice I want to take about fashion is from you.
Really?
Look at
this
you.
This is coming from the guy wearing a flannel shirt right now.
Honestly, you can't sit there and condemn my fashionable look because yours ain't that much better.
Well, I don't have a hole in my crotch.
Hey, he's in and out of the bathroom really quick.
Oh. Very practical.
He's been arrested twice for indecent exposure.
And listen to this, 46% of people wear them anyway when they got a little bit of hole, little bitty hole in there.
Yeah, one of my favorite shirts has a hole, and I will not throw it away until I have to.
34% wow. actually sew them up, Tom. Mm-hmm. So I took it to get them sewed up.
My grandma would say that's what's wrong with this generation is nobody wants to fix anything. They just want to throw it away and get something new.
Shorts.
You're in the 29% of people that throw it out anyway. They just get rid of it. If it got a little bit of hole, they're going to throw it.
A little bit of hole. It's called a hole.
Little bitty hole.
Do people donate them? Because I'll donate it.
Donating.
They don't want it if it's got a hole
exactly.
in it.
Exactly. But people do. They donate. Yeah. They're like, okay, I'm not going to wear this anymore, but somebody will wear this with a hole in it.
Now, I don't know if this is true, but yeah. I'm told this, so I assume it is, that when you donate clothes that they don't use, they will recycle those clothes.
What does that mean even?
I don't know, but it gets my clothes gone.
Yeah, so in other words, you just feel good about hearing that.
No, I donate. It's a tax write-off, Tom.
Yeah. Well, that's fine. I'm just saying, I don't care if you donate clothes with holes in them. Hawk will go buy them.
I will do that. And then, you know, you got those the clothes that have like a string on it, and like you start pulling the string and everything just starts to unravel. I had a turtleneck one time. I started pulling it, and it was a regular neck shirt by the time I got rid of it or got done with it. So he just kept pulling.
Yeah. It's repurposing that sweater.
Yes, I was.
But didn't that give you a little pleasure when you see it unraveling? You're like, oh, that's so neat to watch. And you can't stop?
Not when my shirt's falling apart. No. So anyway, Tom thinks I'm weird.
And I think you're crazy.
Oh, I'm like, that's different. Thank you.
It's the Hawk and Tom Show on B93.7.
This is like a group therapy gone wrong, but it didn't happen in our area. It happened in Idaho. A 58-year-old dad won a lottery. It was $1,000 a day for life.
Wow.
That's a sweet lottery. That's $365,000 a year until you croak. But he got to thinking of a better idea. He wasn't greedy. He didn't feel like he needed to have all that money. And he had a 19-year-old son. So he went to his 19-year-old son and said, if I give you this ticket, you're going to live a lot longer than me. You'll get this money long after I've passed away. Because he could turn it in, just be, here's my ticket.
Wow. Can you not pass on your lottery winnings?
Not the, for life one. The life one is specifically for as long as you live. That's how they make sure they're not pay out too much.
For life. Just your life. Not everybody's life.
Yeah, otherwise it would go on forever.
That's true.
But how do you have to like sign your name and stuff?
On the back of it, but he hadn't signed it yet.
Oh. Okay.
Well, I mean, you don't sign. Most people don't sign them right
but
away.
But I'm just, my question is how would they even know that it was his or not?
Whoever turns it in, it's theirs.
Okay. So you can cheat, basically.
It's not really cheating. He's just giving the lottery ticket to his son.
You ever bought one?
This is new.
Well, he said it wasn't here. So
it's just a lottery.
Okay.
So now that we got everyone caught up, basically the father sees a way to get more money if he goes to the son. He goes, here's what I'll do. I'll give you the ticket. You split it with me for as long as I'm alive. We'll each get $500 a day. When I die, you'll get the whole $1,000 a day, but you're going to outlive me, so we'll get a lot more money.
Right.
The son comes back and says, I think I need a better deal than that.
Oh, my goodness.
Wow. I think it should be 80-20. I get 80% and you get 20%.
Does he have another kid? Because I would have been like, no. You know what? I'm going to your sister.
No, but you know what he did instead? He said, let me think about it. He thought about it. He took his ticket, signed it, took it to the lottery, and there was a lump sum option. He took the lump sum and didn't give the kid anything.
Good.
Said, you can get whatever's left whenever you inherit now.
What you get.
And I'd be like, and I'm buying a yacht today.
Yeah. I'm like, what? That's when you realize I've messed up somewhere with my kid. Or maybe he didn't mess up. Maybe the kids, I mean, kids are individuals. They can turn out even when you do the best job you can. But he basically just told his kid, I guess you're going to learn a hard lesson here about looking the gift horse in the mouth. I mean, that kid was set with $180,000 a year until his dad died, at which point it would become twice that. And instead, he threw it all away. Well, 180 twice is 365.
I would have got it.
Well, they both have issues there, too, though.
What do you mean both?
Because it's kind of unethical what the dad was going
to
do.
It's not at all unethical.
It's not. A winner's a winner.
What if you give the ticket to whoever you want to give it to?
But by the state's rules, can you do that?
Yes.
Until that ticket is signed, it belongs to whoever owns it. Okay. All right.
I give away lottery tickets for birthday gifts. I'm like, this could very well be the most expensive gift you've ever received. Or maybe nothing.
Yeah.
Cato, turn yourself in. That's unethical.
Yeah.
But I thought you were going to say the son agreed and then never gave him any money.
Oh, he's lucky he didn't do that.
Yeah.
Because then he would have not been able to go to the lottery and go, well, listen, we made a deal.
You're right. Oh, yeah.
But, you know, you think you could trust your son, but apparently not. In this case, at least the son did him the favor of telling him up front so he knew not to give it to him.
What's so funny is they just volunteered this information, too. It's like, I'm just going to go tell.
Why wouldn't you? Again, it wasn't illegal or unethical.
I know, but I'm like, it's in the news? I'm like...
Well, it doesn't say his name.
Okay.
I mean, they're not out in their family.
Weird. It's weird.
If I was that dad, I'd out the kid.
Because everybody now knows that this kid did that.
You don't know his name.
Okay, but the people in the story... Well, okay.
The people involved know.
Yeah,
and that's good enough.
A little too confusing on this one, I'm afraid, for Hawk. But I thought it was pretty amazing that this guy's son was so greedy that he wouldn't agree to taking $180,000 a year.
Isn't that so sad after everything your parents do for you?
Yes.
And then you're like, no, it's not enough.
And
like,
it makes me mad. When they're teenagers, it doesn't matter how good a kid they are. Right. There is a certain part of them. I think it's just part of how you learn to let them go is that they push away.
If this ends up being my kid, I'm going to be like, you got that from your daddy.
But you're not getting this from your daddy.
Yeah. All right. I need to.
You still catching up.
I got to sit down for a minute, y'all.
Hawk and Tom on B93.7.
When it comes to high heels, I don't know how you girls do it. I'm just going to go through a walkthrough and a process of wearing high heels. I guess you get invited to some kind of party or something. You realize I'm going to have to wear some high heels. And I don't know if you get scared at that point, because I certainly would, because I'd be thinking, you know, when's the last time I wore high heels as a girl?
It's hard to walk in them.
Exactly.
Y'all know a lot about this.
Well, you think about high heels, they make your legs look longer and skinnier, and you instantly look like you have your life all together when you have your high heels on. It makes you feel pretty. It makes you feel good.
This is true.
Okay. So you kind of realize you got this party you got to go to.
You're reassuring him. I thought he was just telling us from his experience.
Well, he did say they're hard to walk in.
So, you know, unless you want to look like a middle schooler, you got to wear these high heels because everybody else is wearing their tall high heels and looking great that night, right?
Yes, I love heels.
So you convince yourself that your heels aren't as uncomfortable as you remember them being. When you look in your closet, like, okay, this is going to be okay. So you pull out those high heels.
And then you put them on and your big toe and the one next to it is like, squeeching together. And you're like, oh, yeah, right.
Yeah, last time you wore those, you know, you had bloody feet. But this time it's going to be different.
Your big toe and your little toe are like, hey, good to see you again.
I haven't seen you in a long time.
So anyway, you take your first practice steps, which I would think that you'd have to do that. If I had to wear high heels, and most of the time you're wearing, you know, your tennis shoes or whatever, and you got to put on these stilts for a minute. It's got to be kind of wobbly, and you're like, oh, hell, how am I going to wear these tonight?
Yeah, the truth is, usually if I'm wearing heels, it's to a nice function, and I'm already late, so I don't have time for that. My training is getting down the stairs without breaking my neck.
Yeah. Well, after you put on the heels, there's approximately like a 10 to 20 beautiful moments where you feel confident, you feel like you can do this, I'm going to go out, and, you know, you're not freaking out about wearing, like, why was I freaking out about wearing these high heels? So you go out, and then the pain starts to kick in. Let's say you've been at that function or wherever you are for a little bit, and you're like, start getting a little bit uncomfortable, and like you said, your toes are touching each other. And you're like, but I can handle this. I can make it through this night with my high heels.
That's so true. You do hit that point where you're like, that's okay. I got this.
Yeah.
I got this.
You know what? I'm just going to go stand in the corner for a while and avoid walking just to give my feet a break for a second.
Or kick them off on the dance floor and let everybody trip over them.
You're not there yet.
Okay, I'm sorry. Yeah.
The worst thing you can do is sit down because you get that little bit of relief and you're like, oh, thank God. And then you stand up and you're like, this is 10 times worse now.
Yeah. And then you start to question, how inappropriate would it be if I did take my shoes off right now? I mean, everybody around me is wearing their shoes, but would it really be weird if I took them off?
You always love that girl who breaks the ice first by kicking off her shoes at a wedding. And you're like, yes, girl, let's go.
Well, you start looking around and women all around you, and you're like, how in the world are they wearing these high heels all night long? Because my feet are killing me at this point. Not me, but I'm just saying if I was a girl.
in those high heels.
Okay, OJ.
Yeah.
And they secretly are suffering just as much as I are those girls secretly. Why do you say that?
Because he wrote that book, If I Did It, about how he would have killed them if he did it. And you're like, oh, I'm not saying I ever did this. Well, if I did.
Well, the girls are secretly suffering, you know, like you are, but they're not having a problem with it. But you're thinking to yourself, how are they doing it? How are they doing this? And why aren't they uncomfortable?
They probably got nicer shoes than me. Mine were on sale.
So the high heels, if you get nicer ones, they're more comfortable?
Allegedly, if you get certain brands, then yes, they are better. But I don't know because I don't buy expensive shoes.
I mean, I heard those Crocs high heels are pretty comfy.
They look like it.
Well, it gets to a point you'd rather do anything in the world but take another step in your high heels. And so at that point, you're like, what do I do? Dance floor is a good thing to start thinking about because guys expect you to take those high heels off.
I don't like it because I trip over them trying to dance.
You know what? They're hurting my feet and now they're hurting yours.
Yeah. There should be like a little cubby hole next to the dance floor to set your shoes.
It's like a kindergarten boxer.
That would be great, wouldn't it?
Oh my gosh, I love that.
Then finally, you know what? You walk into your car with your shoes in your hand because you caved in. And as you're walking to the car with your shoes in your hand, you're vowing to yourself, I will never wear this pair of shoes again.
I always thought the reason they walked to their car with the shoes in their hand is they'd had enough drinks by that point. There was no way they were balancing on the way back.
I think you do hit a point where you're just like, I don't care. I don't care if I step on yucky stuff. Stepping on glass would feel better than stepping one more foot in these shoes.
Have you ever had one of those high heels break and you got one that's high and one that's slow? And
you're just hobbling and praying to God you make it to the car.
Is that you look like a pirate? You know, walking to your car. Fire, matey. I'm glad that guys don't wear high heels.
Mm-hmm. You can borrow some. It seems like you want to know.
It's the Hawk and Tom Show on B93.7.